All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn where? To the book of Genesis. We're going to start this series called Overview of the Bible. Last week we began by talking about what's in our Bible, where did we get our Bible, and is our Bible trustworthy? The name of that message was Three Questions About the Bible. So I strongly suggest that you get those notes, put it in your binder, have that, because people will ask you about that. They will ask you, you know, what's in your Bible? How did you get your Bible? Especially they will ask you that. And then, is your Bible trustworthy? So all that I've outlined for you, I hope it will be a great blessing to you. Now tonight we start the book of Genesis. I call it the book of beginnings. The book of beginnings. Now, we're going to take Genesis in two different sections. Tonight we're going to go through chapters 1 through 11. And then the week we come back, okay, the 12th, I guess it is, in April, we'll do hopefully the second part, okay, 12 through 50. So we're going to break down the book of Genesis into two different parts. The book of beginnings, you know, you think about it, everything has a beginning, doesn't it? You and I had a beginning, didn't we? You have a birthday. My wife just celebrated yesterday her birthday. And doesn't she look beautiful? I tell you what, she gets more beautiful every year. But we have our birthdays. We had a beginning, okay? That is our birthdays, okay? And then you think about, we had a beginning of when we got married and how long we've been married. You got married on a certain date. Then you had a beginning when it comes to your family, right? You started maybe having children and your oldest child and maybe the first child, second child, third child, whatever it is. So you had a beginning with ourselves, we had a beginning with our marriages, we had a beginning with our families. We have a beginning when it comes to where we work. Many of you worked at a job maybe 10, 20, 30 years or more. Some of you had a beginning when it comes to starting your own business. Many in our church have started their own business. Think about it, our country had a beginning, didn't it? Okay, our country is almost 247 years old. Okay, so everything has a beginning. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. Everything that has begun that we know about is in the book of Genesis. Everything had a beginning, but who? God. God had no beginning. God has always been. So it's important that we look at the book of Genesis carefully. Now, I want to say something to you. We're going to get into outlines. Now, I struggled with this today, because I can make these sermons a lot shorter by not filling in outlines. But I got to thinking about it. If I do that and I take a point and I just talk about it, you're going to forget that, right? Remember what this is for. This is for 2 years down the road. So you're going to need an outline. So bear with me as we go through outlines, because it will help you, okay? Don't get overwhelmed, but it will help you a couple years from now when you want to go back and find out what the book of Genesis is all about. So, in a nutshell, Genesis is simply this. It's basically three parts, okay? First of all, it's the beginning of the world. The beginning of the world, that's chapters 1 through 2. Then it's the beginning of the nations. That's chapters 3 through 11. And then it's the beginning of the Israelites. That's chapters 12 through 50. So when you look at the book of Genesis, all 50 chapters, that's how you divide it, okay? It's the beginning of the world, chapters 1 and 2. It's the beginning of the nations, chapter 3 through 11. And the beginning of the Israelites, God's chosen people, in chapters 12 through 50. Now, I want to do it a little different. That's not the outline we're going to go by. We're going to go by something different. We're going to divide the book of Genesis into two parts, okay? We're going to divide it into two storylines, if you will. So tonight, in chapters 1 through 11, we're going to talk about the story of four important events. That's the message tonight, okay? The storyline tonight is four important events. That's chapters 1 through 11. And then on the 12th, we're going to come back and talk about the story of four important people. That's chapters 12 through 50. So there's where we're going to go tonight and when we come back on the 12th to finish up the book of Genesis. Now, before we go too far, let me give you a little context, a little background of the book. Who wrote the book of Genesis? We believe Moses did. In fact, Moses wrote the Pentateuch. Okay, that's Greek Pentateuch, means five books. Or the Hebrew, it's called the Torah. Okay, we believe that he wrote the book of Genesis somewhere between the 15th and the 13th century B.C. Most scholars will say it's around the 1400 B.C. that Moses penned the book of Genesis, though we're not sure. Now, you can divide Moses' life into three different parts. You probably learned this in Sunday school. Okay, the first 40 years were where? In Egypt. The next 40 years were in Midian. Remember that? And the last 40 years were in the wilderness. So this is who penned the book, who wrote the not only Genesis, but the next four books that we'll be going through in about the 1400s B.C. Okay? So tonight, here's where we're going to go. Four important events that you must get down. Four important events that occurred in chapters 1 through 11. Everybody got that? Everybody know where we're going, okay? The first event is creation. Creation. That's in chapters 1 through 2. Now, I want to quickly, you see them on the screen, I don't have time to really get into that heavily, but quickly, this is what happened on all the days, okay? On day one, what do you have? You have day and night. That's what was created on day one by God. Day two, expanse and the heavens. Day three, you have the earth, the seas, and vegetation. Day four, you have the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day five, you have sea creatures, which constitutes a lot of different things, and flying creatures, birds, so forth and so on. Everybody keeping up? Okay, day six, you have land animals and us. You have man. And what happened on the seventh day? Everybody knows what happens on the seventh day, right? God rested. So we're talking about four important events in chapters 1 through 11. And the most important as we begin is creation, chapters 1 and 2. So we find what was created in chapter 1. Now, I want to stop here because you're going to be asked these questions. The basic theories of the origin of life. What's out there? What are you going to get questions asked about? What are people going to tell you they believe? So I'm going to stop a minute and give these to you. This is what people typically believe when it comes to the origin, okay, of everything created. First of all, we know this when it's evolution, okay? How many of you were taught evolution in school? Okay, some of us are too old. We didn't know what that was, did we? Evolution, that is what? God began the evolutionary process, slowly evolved over millions of years. I'm getting ahead of myself, okay? Evolution, creation slowly evolved over millions of years. Do we believe that? No, okay. But that's what you'll hear out there, evolution. The second one is literal creation. In other words, God created the world in 6 days. Now, the word day is the Hebrew word yom, and it simply means a 24-hour period. This is what I believe. I believe God created the world, okay? He created creation and all that's in it in 6 literal 24-hour periods. days. That's called the literal creation. That's what I believe, and most Christians I know believe in that. But now let me give you a swing on that. Because here's what's happening. A lot of people reject evolution. Okay? They realize that's not possible. And they embrace literal creation. But then they have what they call accommodating views to go along with the literal creation. They call it accommodating views. Let me give you a few of them because you're going to hear about that. First of all, there's theistic evolution. God began the evolutionary process and then let it run. That's the theistic evolution. God created everything, then he just left it alone. He let it run by itself. For example, he created the sun runs by itself. He created the moon, the stars, they do their thing, so forth and so on. Many would say, I believe in the literal creation, but also this accommodating view with that. Some believe that. I don't, but some do. Then they have what is called the day-age theory. The day-age theory. Okay? The days of Genesis are long ages of time. They're not a 24-hour period. Day one could have lasted hundreds or thousands of years. They call that the day-age theory. Then they have the revelatory day theory. God revealed to Moses in 6 days, watch, which literally took millions of years to accomplish. In other words, he revealed it to Moses in 6 days, but in reality, it might have took millions of years on each of those days. Revelatory day theory. Now remember, these are what? They're accompanying views to literal creation. And then there's the progressive creation. God intervened at every stage of creation separately. The progressive creation. And then they have, and this one's really taken on a lot of popularity. It's called the gap theory. Has anybody ever heard of the gap theory? Let me see your hand. The gap theory says there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Okay? To accommodate science and what science says, they come up with a gap theory that says between verse 1 and verse 2, millions of years could have gone by. Now, that's the accommodating views many times of literal creation. I don't hold to any of those. I hold to a literal creation. God created the world in what? 6 days, six 24-hour days or six 24-hour periods, and he rested on the seventh day. So that's some background because you're going to hear these words. Now you'll have them down and know what these things are. The end result is Genesis 1 verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. When God finished creating, I believe in 6 days, everything that's created, he looked back, and the Bible says that everything he had made, he was very pleased with it. He said it was very, very good. You say, Brother Ron, if it was that way, what's happened to the world? It's called we got involved, right? Okay, we got involved and messed up a lot of it. All right, so here we are tonight. Four important events that you must get down in chapters 1 through 11. Okay, this is what you'll find. First of all, there's creation. That's in chapters 1 and 2. Now we're going to get into an outline form. The second thing that we see in these chapters is not only creation, chapters 1 and 2, but second of all, we see the fall. The fall of mankind, and that's in chapters 3 through 5. Okay? We see the fall of mankind. Now, there's four things I want you to see about the fall of mankind. Okay? First of all, it's what I call the entrance of sin. The entrance of sin, and that's in chapter 3. Okay? How did sin get into the world? How did sin cause the fall of mankind? Because as soon as you get out of chapters 1 and 2, and you see all that God created, the next thing you see, starting in chapter 3, going through chapter 5, is that mankind falls. Now, why did he fall? It's because of the entrance of sin. Now, how did sin get in the world? Well, first of all, because of temptation. Now, Genesis chapter 3, okay? I want to read to you Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning, more shrewd, more subtle, more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "Watch, you shall not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open." Now here's the drawing card. "And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That was the thing that the serpent, Satan, was trying to get Eve to bite on, to take the temptation. That if you'll take of this fruit, if you'll disobey God, nothing's really going to happen, and your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So how did the fall of mankind come into existence? According to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, there was a temptation. Satan, the serpent, tempted Eve, told her that nothing would happen to her, no big deal to disobey God, and that if she would do this, she would be like God, knowing the difference between good and bad. So we see this temptation. But second of all, we see these consequences. There's always consequences to sin. How many of you know that? Every time we sin, there's a consequence. Now, what happened is God walked back through the garden in the cool of the day. You remember the story. He asked, what? "Where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?" Because I'm assuming they used to take walks in the garden every day. So where are you? You're no longer around. Where were they? They were hid from God. Okay? They sewed fig leaves together because they realized they were naked. And they hid from God. Then what we see God doing is handing out the consequences for disobedience. Okay? First of all, he gives it to Satan. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Look, if you will, in verse 14. "So the Lord said to the serpent," to Satan, "because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That's the consequence that Satan or this serpent encountered because of this temptation that he gave to Adam and Eve, especially to Eve, to sin, and she bit into it and took the temptation. Okay? Satan, listen to me, folks, is under our feet. How many of you know that? He's under our feet. We have to realize that. So there's a consequence to Satan, but now there's a consequence to Eve. Look, if you will, in verse 16 of Genesis 3. "To the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children." And all the women said, amen, all the moms. And then the word says, "Your desire, your longing, your craving shall be for your husband." Now watch this, "and he shall rule over you." I didn't say that. God said that. The word means to have dominion, to reign. So, what did God do? The consequences of sin. The consequences of giving in to the temptation. Satan, we saw the consequences there. Eve's got her consequences. Then to Adam, notice what he said in verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you should not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil or in pain or in labor you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and shall eat the herb of the field. Now look at verse 19. In the sweat of your face, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. So do you see what's happening here? Okay? We see what? We see what's happening. We see creation, chapters 1 and 2. Now we're into the fall, chapters 3 through 5. We see that fall in the form of the entrance of sin. We see it in the form of temptation in chapter 3. And then at the end of chapter 3, we see the consequences God gave both to Satan, to Eve, and to man. Okay? Now, the second major point I want you to see under this entrance of sin, this fall, okay? We've talked about the temptation, okay? Now I want you to talk to you about the entrance of an offering. So the entrance of this temptation or this sin, okay? The entrance of sin. Now we have the entrance of an offering. Now think about it. When mankind sinned, okay? When sin came into the world, what did God do? God in His love and His mercy and His kindness started to do something about it. So we see this entrance of this sin into the world. Now we see the entrance, God begins to teach them about an offering it's going to take to be able to atone for the sin. Now we see that in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is a story of who? It's a story of Cain and Abel. But in this story, we see God telling Cain and Abel now what they have to do to atone for sin. There has to be an offering brought for sin. Look at it, if you will, in Genesis chapter 4. First of all, we see what I call this requirement. Look at verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. The process of time. What does that mean? God was telling Cain and Abel, He was teaching them through a certain amount of time what offering must be brought to atone for the sin that's now come into the world. Okay? So we have this entrance of sin. We saw this temptation. We saw the consequences. And now God says what we're going to have to do about it. Now, I just see where I overskipped something and I want to go back and catch it. I see the remedy. Look at that. Back to chapter 3 real quick. I'm learning how to do this, okay? I'm not used to just going down something like this. I'm used to moving around, but I know I can't do that in this series. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. I want to look at the remedy for sin. Look at it in verse 20 real quick. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. What is the atonement for sin? Blood. That's exactly right. Do you see what God was teaching them? He was teaching them about this offering that had to be brought. It had to be blood. Okay? So what have we got? We got the entrance of sin in chapter 3. In chapter 3, we saw the temptation in the first six verses. Then we saw the consequences of the latter part of chapter 3. Okay? Now, the consequences to Satan, the consequences to Eve, the consequences to Adam. And then God began to show them what He was going to do. The remedy. He actually took animals, slayed animals, and took their blood. He was going to teach them it's all about the blood. So now chapter 4, we see the entrance of the offering. The entrance of the offering. Now, look if you will in chapter 4. Let's go back there. In the process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He began to teach them over time what it would take. Now notice, Abel also brought the firstborn of the flock and their fat. Okay? So that is the requirement. He told them both what to bring. Now, we all know the story. What happened? He had respect for Abel. Now, the question always comes to me, why? Why? Because all it says in verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and their fat, while Cain, the prior verse, brought the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice, offering, and not Cain's? There's a lot of speculation about that. Some would say he brought it by faith. Some would say it was the first. He brought the first of his flock. Okay? And many would say because he brought an animal, there was blood. Now, when you get over in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, simply says that what? Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. So, what do you have? You have the requirement. He told him what to bring. Cain did not bring it. We know that Abel did. He had respect for Abel. Look at verse 4 again. And the Lord respected, okay, or looked toward Abel and his offering. But then the refusal of Cain. Look at verse 5 of Genesis 4. But he did not respect Cain in his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell, his face fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, if you do what is right, is what the word well means, will you not be accepted? Will you not be elevated? Is what the word means. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. So, he refused Cain, but notice the grace of mercy of God. He says, Cain, all you got to do is bring what I told you to bring. Okay? You have to bring a blood offering. Bring that, and I will accept you. Okay? Don't be sad about this. If you don't, okay, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. Now, what did Cain go out and do? He slew his brother Abel. Okay? So there's what we see, this entrance of an offering. God is teaching through these two boys what to bring to him to what? Atone for sin. Then we see the relationships torn. We're not going to read that, but that's the end of chapter 4. You look at all these relationships, they're torn all apart. And then we see this entrance of a remnant. So we see the what? We see the entrance of sin, that's the first thing. Then we see this entrance of an offering. And now we see the entrance of a remnant, chapter 4 and in verse 26. Look at this. As for Seth, to him also a son was born. He named him Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Hear me, God has always a remnant. He always does, okay? And then the fourth thing is the entrance of a lineage. Chapter 5, you started Adam, and from Adam, everybody's born. Okay? You have this lineage of all mankind. So now let's regroup. Okay? I know that's a lot, but let's regroup. Okay? We're talking first four important events in chapters 1 through 11. Okay? First of all, we have what? Creation, chapters 1 and 2. Second of all, we have the fall. Okay? The fall of mankind. We call the entrance of sin. It came into the world. Then because of sin, there was an entrance of an offering, blood, that had to be brought to atone for sin. Then we saw this entrance of a remnant, that God always had a remnant, starting with Seth. And then this entrance of a lineage, starting at Adam, and all the way through in chapter 5. Now, the third thing. So we've talked about four important things: creation, the fall. Now, quickly, I'm running out of time. I thought I could get through this. But we have the flood in chapters 6 through 9. Now, what I'm going to do is just go down through this. I'm not going to try to read. I see right now trying to read these scriptures is going to be difficult. It'll be a while before we get through it. So let me just do it this way. The third important event is the flood. You see the flood from chapters 6 through 9. Now, what do you see about the flood? Okay? First of all, you see God's grief. God's grief in chapter 6. Okay? He gives this reason. You remember the reason God said that he brought the flood on mankind? Because man became what? They became wicked. Every intent of their heart was what? It was only evil. So God, in his grief, the reason he brought it, and there's, you can look up those verses, is because, okay, mankind turned from him, they became wicked, and every thought was evil, and it was bad. So then comes in who? Comes in Noah. The Noah, the Bible says, did what? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says that he was a just man. He was a perfect man. The word perfect means he was a blameless man. And then we get into what? What did God tell Noah? To build a what? To build an ark. Okay? Now, I wish I had time to go through this. I want to try to go through it through quickly. He told him to build an ark. Now, the dimensions of the ark, okay, is in chapter 6, verse 15. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Okay, you'll have to fill that in. Then it had windows, and it had three levels. It had an 18-inch opening. It had a window. Okay. Then it had a door, and then it had three stories, three levels. Then the cargo was what? To bring two of every kind of what? Animal into it. Now in chapter 7, it said a brand new order was to bring seven of the clean. Why? Because they would use that for sacrifice as soon as the flood was over. Now, so we see that. Then we God said to bring the food in chapter 6 and verse 21. Okay, so I'm going through this pretty quickly. But we're talking about the flood. We see God's grief. Then we see God's rain. God's rain. The length of the rain. How many days did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. We see the height of the rain. Now this is something interesting. I would hoped I had got time to go through this, but I really don't. That's in chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. All that it says there, that the highest mountains were covered, and above those highest mountains, which Mount Ararat stands at 17,000 feet, which is over 3 miles. The flood, the water was 20 to 22 feet above that. You're going to have to take my word for that. Wish I had time to read it, but I don't have time to read it. So that's the height of the rain. Then the duration of the rain is for 150 days or around 5 months. So under this flood, we see God's grief, why he brought the rain. We see God's rain. Then we see God's deliverance. Chapter 8 and verse 1, he delivers Noah. The Bible says that he remembered Noah. And then we see God made a covenant with creation. Do you remember what the covenant was? It would never rain again. And what was the sign of the covenant? It was a rainbow. So we see God's deliverance. And then God made a mandate. Okay? Mandate in chapter 9 that man would have dominion over every living thing. That was the mandate. Man's reminder is not to eat blood or not to shed blood. If you shed blood, God says your blood will be shed. That's the reminder. And then man's assurance, again, that God would never bring a flood back on the world. Okay? So here's where we are tonight. Okay? And help me with this. I'm trying to figure out how much time I have for these messages. Okay? I can see right now I'm going to have to do some cutting. Okay? But anyway, get this if you don't get everything else tonight. Get the four important events. Okay? You have creation. You have the fall, you have the flood, and lastly, real quickly, we have a tower. What's the tower? The tower of what? Babel. You find that in chapters 10 and 11. You know, after the flood, people and the animals began to follow God's command. Remember what God's command was? To be fruitful and multiply. And then there was another part to it, and to fill the earth. They began to be fruitful and multiply, both man and beast. But then in this chapters 10 and 11, They don't want to do the last part of it. And that's fill the earth. Man began to rebel against God. Now, quickly, I want to read you something. Let me just take a minute. Don't turn there, but just let me read it to you. Okay, look what happened. This is Genesis 11, verse 4. And they said, those are building this tower, the Tower of Babel, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Now, I'm going to stop right there real quickly. What are they talking about? The word name means repetition. Okay. Or reputation, excuse me. Not repetition, reputation. Okay, what reputation do they want? What kind of name? Now, this is Brother Ron. I'm going to add this, okay? They wanted to be, I believe, like the Nephilim. Do you remember them? They were the giants in the land. They were the sons of what? The sons of God who married the daughters of men. And the offspring was a mighty man, the Bible says. I believe that's what they wanted. Okay? When they wanted a name, they wanted that name. They wanted to stay put. Okay? That's what they were after. And that's what God told them not to do. He said, be fruitful and multiply and do what? Fill the earth. They got to a certain point and they stopped. And they said, we're not going to do this. We're not going to fill the earth. And the reason we don't fill the earth because we want a name, we want a reputation. Like the Nephilim, back in Genesis chapter 6, we want to be mighty. What is it? It's called pride, is what it is. And then we see a couple things, and I'll finish, about this tower, and you can read this for yourself. Man's arrogance, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, and God's answer to them in chapter 11, verses 5 through 9, where he did what? What do we know the Tower of Babel? What's it known for? What does Babel mean? It means confusion. Where God confused the languages, where they could no longer stay there, but they had to go and do what he originally told them to do. Now, I don't know how this came out tonight. I see I got some work to do. Because the next message is even longer than this one. Okay? So I'm going to have to figure out, this is my biggest problem doing this series, is how I can do one message a Wednesday night, or we'll never get done. Okay? And so let me work on this. Did I confuse you tonight?
No.
I'm sorry if I did, because I thought I could give you the outline and read the scriptures to them, and I don't know what I'm going to do now. So I got to go back to the drawing board and figure out how I'm going to incorporate this in. Will y'all give me another chance, please? Okay? All right. Thank you. I want another chance. It's so good. So please get tonight, okay, four important events. Creation, okay, the fall, the flood, and a tower. If you can get that, read the rest of your outline and it'll fill it in. This will help you when you read your Bible. Now, the next time we're together, we're in chapters 12 through 50, believe it or not. We're going to talk about not four important events, but four important people. I know, I got a lot of work to do, okay? So we'll see how it goes next time. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for letting me get my arms and legs in this and figuring out how I'm going to do this. And the last thing I want you to do is get bored, get lost, quit coming, okay? This is very, very important. I put a lot of work into this. And I just got to keep cutting it and whittling it down to where you can get it on a Wednesday night, okay?